with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney. RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. I'm Marnie Roper. In the past, we have broadcast programs on the renowned cochlear implant, which enables profoundly deaf people to hear. These people have suffered inner ear and nerve damage. Cochlear, the company, also offers a solution for people who suffer a different type of hearing loss, those whose hearing deficit is caused by mechanical problems, for example, with the eardrum or small ear bones. This system is called Baha, or bone-anchored hearing aid. To learn more about this proven device, Barbara Sullivan spoke with John Newell, Master of Clinical Audiology, Program Coordinator at Macquarie University, and owner of Evidence-Based Audiology.
Hello, John. Thanks so much for joining us today. Now, we've recently aired a program on the cochlear implant, interviewing a recipient, Faye Yarrell, about her experience with the implant. Before we launch into a detailed discussion about the topic of today, which is cochlear's other hearing device, the Baha systems, can you briefly explain how the cochlear implant works?
Absolutely. So the cochlear implant itself, it has basically two main components. There's an external component, which is basically a microphone, which picks up the sound and then processes that sound. It looks a little bit like a standard hearing aid, in fact. It then sends that signal to an internal component, a sort of little receiver, which is placed under the skin at the back, just behind the ear. And then that signal is sent down a wire into the cochlea directly, and it produces a little electrical response in the inner ear of the recipient. And that little electrical response in the inner ear then travels up the auditory nerve to the brain and is sensed as sound.
Now, cochlear have been doing this for some years. I imagine it's changed quite a lot over the last few years as technology has become more sophisticated, has it?
It absolutely has. So there have been advances in the processor itself, so that external part in the electrode, the part that goes into the ear, and the surgical aspects of putting the device in. The processor has become smaller. They've added things like water resistance and wireless connectivity, so you can link your phone and other gadgets up to it. Your electrodes have more sort of little electrode points on them so that they can stimulate the inner ear more appropriately. They've become softer and more contoured so that they don't cause trauma in the ear. And the surgeons have just got better at putting them in and better at preserving any residual hearing the user has to start off with.
Now, shall we move on to today's topic, the Baha system, or for those who don't know, bone-anchored hearing aid.
Yes.
What exactly is it and how does it work?
We should start by just specifying that there are two main types of hearing loss. Hearing loss which is due mainly to inner ear or nerve deafness, and hearing loss which is due to mostly mechanical problems, like problems with the eardrum or tympanic membrane, or problems with the little ear bones or ossicles. So your bone-anchored hearing aid is essentially set up to deal with people who have problems with those mechanical problems, troubles with the eardrum, troubles with the ear bones. Does is it sends the sound via a vibration through the bone, behind the ear, into the inner ear, essentially directly. And so it stimulates that inner ear via what we call bone conduction, bone vibrations.
So it actually sits behind the ear, the piece itself sits behind the ear.
Absolutely. So essentially, it looks a little bit like a hearing aid, slightly smaller in some sense. It sits behind the ear and it vibrates. It's a vibration which is very small, so you can't see the vibration and the person can't feel it. But that vibration sends compression waves through the skull, through the fluids inside the head, and those little waves or that bit of energy which is being produced by vibrating the skull enters the inner ear and produces a sound for the patient who's wearing the device.
Now, I understand there are two systems, the Baha Connect and Baha Attract. What's the difference?
The Baha Connect was the original system. Essentially, there the surgeon will place essentially what is like a little screw in the skull. That screw will then osseointegrate, will integrate with the bone in the skull, and that little screw will protrude out of the skin. So you have like a little abutment, they call it, but it's like a little screw with a press stud on the end coming out of the skin. And the Baha system, the bone-anchored system, actually attaches to that little abutment, clips on. More recently, they have released the Baha Attract, which essentially there, you've got the same little screw going into the bone underneath the skin this time, though. So they place a little magnet, they attach a little magnet, I should say, to that little screw, and then they cover that magnet with skin. And so when you're not wearing the device, you essentially can't see anything on the surface of the skin, maybe just a little outline of the magnet lying beneath the skin. And then the patient would attach, instead of attaching it directly to the abutment, then they would attach the Baha device via a magnet to the magnet underlying the skin.
Who's likely to benefit from it, and how do they know which system is the best for them?
Firstly, I guess they should ask an audiologist who's familiar with the system. They are a suitable candidate, and luckily they can also have a trial, so it is possible to try before you buy, in a sense. You don't have to commit to the system before trying it and seeing if you will benefit from it. The key patients who will benefit from this are patients with hearing loss, which is attributed to mechanical problems, problems with the eardrum and with the ear bones. Possibly also those with what we call single-sided deafness or very profound hearing loss in one ear, because the system can be placed on a side with no hearing and it picks up the sound on that side and sends it via bone conduction, via this bone vibration to the good ear side as well. So it can be used in those patients as well.
So why would they choose something like this over regular hearing aids, which are themselves quite sophisticated?
Hearing aids do work for a wide variety of patients. The problem is, with a standard hearing aid, it sends the sound through the ear canal, it strikes the eardrum, moves the little ear bones and gets into the inner ear in that fashion. And it's kind of inefficient because we're trying to get the sound into that inner ear, but these patients who have mechanical problems with their eardrum or ear bones, a lot of the energy is lost on the way in using a standard hearing aid. So we can get the energy in there, but the hearing aid has to be really loud and it has to block up their ear entirely. With the bone-anchored system, the vibrations enter the cochlea more or less directly, so it doesn't have to travel through that damaged eardrum, ear bone type middle ear system. It goes directly into the inner ear. It's much more efficient, and they get a better quality of sound typically because of that.
So the recipient has an operation to implant the device. How long does that operation take, and how invasive is it? Do they need a local or a general anaesthetic?
Well, it's a fairly short operation, actually. Under an hour in the vast majority of cases. It's significantly less than that in many cases, actually. It's not particularly invasive. It can be done under a local anaesthetic, but is more commonly, I believe, done under a general anaesthetic in most cases. And so it basically, the procedure involves making an incision, which is a few centimetres long, and then pulling the skin back and putting this small screw into the skull. So it doesn't take a huge amount of time. After they've had the surgery, they're sutured up, and then, you know, probably for about a week or so, they'll come back and visit the surgeon again, who will check and make sure that everything's healing well and remove the dressing. And sometime after that, maybe 3 or 4 weeks, they're pretty much ready to go with the device on their head.
So after the operation, a few weeks, and they're healed up, who performs the stage of the process where the actual sound processor is attached and gets them adjusted to it?
So it's similar to hearing aids in that regard. Up until that point, the patient's been dealing with an ear, nose and throat surgeon or otolaryngologist, but now they'll be seeing an audiologist who will fit the processor to them, tell them how to use it and adjust it to their specific hearing problems and hearing levels, and any follow-up work will be done with the audiologist from that point.
And do people notice it makes a big immediate difference to their hearing?
Absolutely. If the right candidates are chosen, again, people with these middle ear problems, problems with the eardrum, ear bones and so on, they notice a massive difference, a massive improvement in their ability to hear sound, hear conversation, pick up voices in a variety of different situations immediately once they've got that processor on. I have many patients who've had this device now and it really does make a huge difference to their life.
So you mentioned before, if you have a profoundly deaf single ear, I suppose,
yes,
and the other one's fine, in many cases, are people just having one of the Baha systems implanted, or do they have two?
It varies. So in the case of a single-sided deafness or one ear with a hearing loss, obviously they would only have one in that case. We have cases of patients who have both ears, which have problems with the eardrum, the ear bones. We have children, for instance, who are born without ear canals on both sides in some cases. So they don't have the option in that case to have a hearing aid because there's nothing to put the hearing aid
right
in or on. So this sort of device, they could have it fitted on one side to start off with and then a second one added whenever they're ready. and it really just produces a massive benefit in those cases.
So you mentioned children. Well, children's bones are not very dense in those early stages. I guess the skulls are not as thick as adults. Is there any problem in implanting them in children?
Yes, you would have trouble implanting them very early in a child's life when they're a baby, but they can still wear the device on what's called a soft band, basically like a little headband which attaches around the head, and the device is attached to that, a bit like a headband that a sort of circa 1970s tennis player might wear, Pat Cash style. So they'd attach the device to that for a period of time. And then when they're a little bit older, perhaps a few years of age, then they could have the surgery. Once the bone thickness is over about 3 millimetres, then they're ready to go.
Also, the soft band is how adults could trial it before they actually have the implant, is it?
Absolutely. Typically, if one is considering having the bone-anchored hearing aid device, as I said, the good thing is you can try it and make sure that it really is going to make a difference for you. So I would get my patients to trial the device for a few weeks at least, preferably more 3 or 4 weeks, and they can wear it in a range of environments and make sure that it really is going to give them the benefit they want and need.
Does the system last forever? Once it's implanted, they then just get updated versions like your iPhone or something?
Yeah, to some extent. So the internal portion, the abutment, that little screw which comes out through the skin, or the implanted magnet, can remain in pretty much forever. The external part, which picks up the sound, processes it, and delivers those vibrations, can be upgraded over time. They've had a recent release of a new version of the device, which has all these excellent features like wireless and automatic programs and so on. So that a lot of patients now have started upgrading to those, and that will continue, I would guess, into the future.
What if you had it implanted and then decided you didn't like it for some reason? Maybe you had the Baha Connect that had the screw and you got infection that wouldn't go away, or for some reason. Is it reversible? I mean, can you have them taken out?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, you would generally go under a general or possibly a local anaesthetic, and a surgeon can unscrew the screws. And then they would wait for you to heal up, and then you could have had patients, for instance, who have had the connect and changed to the attract system, so they've had the screw removed,
right.
And then subsequently, after waiting for that to heal up, they've had a new screw put in with the magnet under the skin and changed over to the attract system, that magnetic system, and that's worked out just fine.
Well, you mentioned before about the speed of development, I suppose, in the technology generally for such things as developing. You're in this field at Macquarie University. Can you give us a glimpse of what else might be on the horizon?
Sure, yes. One of the problems which people face in using their devices, whether they be hearing aids, bone-anchored hearing aids, cochlear implants, etc., is the way that they deal with situations where there's a lot of background noise. Most people find, even with a well-fitted device, that they still struggle a bit when there's a lot of noise around.
Yes.
So a lot of the research which is going on here at the Hub, the Hearing Hub, and in other research institutes is looking to improve people's performance in those sorts of situations by, for instance, getting devices on either side of the head to talk to each other, and they can then better adjust themselves in noisy situations to improve hearing. Also in terms of what the audiologist does in terms of training, are there ways in which we can train people with these devices on and teach them how to hear better? We're at the moment doing a training program which involves using music to improve people's listening skills. And that could produce benefits which are outside of the technology but are more to do with the way people listen.
And the way they lead their lives.
Absolutely, absolutely.
John, fascinating, and thank you very much for giving us a lot of detail there about the Baha system. We will look forward to hearing the next thing that's coming down the wire with audio technology.
You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology. From Barbara Sullivan and Marnie Roper, thank you for listening, and goodbye till next programme.